Good evening, everyone. It's a privilege to be able to open the Word of the Lord together tonight. Just apologise in advance if my voice runs out, because I won't be able to apologise then. I think that's how it works, eh? Yeah. All right. Well, tonight we're going to continue on with our series in the Psalms. But before we do, I'll just pray for us to open our time up together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for preserving it for us. Lord, I do pray and ask tonight that you would open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, our hearts and minds to understand what you want to say to us. Lord, soften our hearts if there's any hardness in our hearts, Lord. If there's any callousness or coldness towards you, Lord. Would you speak to us and minister to our souls tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. So tonight we're going to consider a psalm that's probably the most well-known of them all. It's read at many funerals. People who aren't a Christian are generally pretty familiar with it. And I'm sure the majority of us have interacted with it many times ourselves. But I do believe that the Lord wants to offer each of us a chance tonight to be blessed by his rest and refreshment of our souls as we partake of the truth of the psalm. If you need to grasp tonight more about your Lord's identity, then this psalm is for you. If you need to grasp the truth about your identity in relation to your Lord, then this psalm is for you. If you need to grasp the truth about what it looks like for you to be in relationship with your Lord day by day, then this psalm is for you. If you need to be encouraged and refreshed in your walk with the Lord, then this psalm is for you. So I urge you to be attentive to the word of the Lord tonight, because in this time, the Lord, God himself, through his word and by the power of his Holy Spirit, will minister to your soul. The Lord knows where he's leading us. He knows what he's doing in each of our lives. And he knows where we're at in our journey with him. So be attentive to the voice of the Lord tonight as we open his word together. If you need to hear the voice of the Lord in your life, then now's the time to listen as we open his word. So if you have your Bible, please turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I'm going to reflect upon this Psalm of David. We're going to consider this personal expression of worship drawn from David's knowledge and experience of the Lord. There's a deeply personal nature to this psalm, and we see this through the language that David uses in it. He makes no mention to us or we or them, but rather he uses my, me, and I. This is David speaking about and speaking to his Lord. So let's listen carefully to David's expression of worship to the Lord tonight in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. David begins this psalm by speaking about who his Lord is. He uses one word to describe his Lord's identity. The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. David uses this shepherd imagery to describe his Lord's identity, and it becomes the foundation from which the entire psalm is drawn and finds expression. It's a theological statement about who his Lord is, and it's an intimate and personal statement. This shepherd imagery is significant and well known in the context of ancient Israel. Therefore, the original readers were closely acquainted with all that being a shepherd entailed. They knew the responsibilities that a shepherd had: to lead and guide his flock, to provide for them, to protect and care for them, and so on. Also, David himself was a shepherd. Yes, before he was a king, David was a shepherd. And we see this explicitly in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when the Lord sent the prophet Samuel to anoint one of the sons of Jesse as king of Israel. Samuel went to the home of Jesse and surveyed all of his sons that were present. And the Lord showed him that none of them were the one whom he'd chosen to be king. So Samuel asked Jesse, "Are all of your sons here?" Jesse said that his youngest son was the only one missing because he was keeping the sheep. David was a shepherd. He kept the sheep. He led them. He guided them. He provided for them, protected them, and cared for them. David even tells King Saul about some of his encounters when shepherding the sheep before going out to fight Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He says that when a lion or bear came to take and harm any of his flock, he went after them, he attacked them, and he even killed them in order to rescue and protect the sheep of his flock. So David knew what it was to be a shepherd. He knew what it was to shepherd a flock of sheep. And he knew that the Lord was his shepherd. David's opening declaration is significant for two reasons. Firstly, because it shows us that David knows his shepherd. He knows his identity and his character. He knows that the Lord is good. He knows that He's holy and faithful. And because he knows his Lord so intimately, he's able to trust Him and follow Him wholeheartedly. David knows that everything that he himself was to his sheep, the Lord is to him. The Lord is his leader, his guide, his provider, his keeper, his protector, the one who cares for him. The Lord is his shepherd. Secondly, it also shows that David knows who he is in relation to his Lord. He's the Lord's sheep. He's a sheep of the Lord's pasture. And as the Lord's sheep, he's entirely dependent upon his shepherd. David's role is to follow his shepherd and to trust in him. And his confidence is that his shepherd will lead him. His shepherd will provide for him. His shepherd will protect him and care for him. He simply needs to remain near to his shepherd. This is a restful reality, isn't it? And this same shepherd and sheep imagery is used by the Lord Jesus in relation to himself and his people in John chapter 10. In John 10, verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." In John 10, verses 14 and 15, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." He even goes on to say in John 10, verses 27 and 28, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." And so we see that the Lord is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. The reality of our relationship with the Lord is the same as David's. Our journey with the Lord is also to be characterized by trust and dependence upon our shepherd. And in this, we have rest. This rest comes in knowing who our shepherd is, and who we are in relation to him. Rest doesn't mean laziness. This doesn't mean that the Christian life is one of kicking back with our feet up on the couch every day. Rather, rest means that we're able to have peace in our lives, no matter what we're going through, because we trust in our shepherd. We are dependent upon him for everything and in every way. By nature of this disposition of dependence upon our shepherd, we find rest for our souls. This disposition of dependence upon our shepherd flows out of a correct understanding of who our shepherd is and who we are in relation to him. So, do you know your shepherd? Do you know that you're his sheep? Sheep aren't overly intelligent. Sheep aren't strong in and of themselves. In fact, they are weak and vulnerable to predators. Sheep wander and stray easily. Sheep are dependent upon their shepherd. Do you grasp what it means that the Lord is your shepherd tonight? Do you live out of this reality day by day? It does us well to reflect upon this reality that the Lord is our shepherd and we are his sheep. Immediately after this, we see the impact that David's understanding about the Lord and about himself has upon his life when he says, "I shall not want." This is the natural outflow from David's understanding of his life. Because he knows that the Lord is his shepherd, because he knows that he is the Lord's sheep, therefore he says, "I shall not want." This is perhaps better translated into English as I shall not lack. It's a statement of dependence and trust. So exactly what is David saying here? Is he suggesting that as the Lord's sheep, he'll never lack anything at all? No, he isn't. David isn't espousing some sort of prosperity gospel here. His focus isn't actually upon what he will or won't have. Rather, his focus is upon the confidence he has that he'll never lack anything that his shepherd thinks is good for him and knows that he truly needs. He knows that as he follows his shepherd, he'll never lack anything that his shepherd has determined is good for him and that his shepherd determines that he truly needs. This is a deep expression of trust and dependence. David isn't saying that whatever he wants or whatever he thinks he needs will be his in the Lord. Rather, he's saying that whatever his shepherd determines is good for him, whatever his shepherd determines that he needs, this his shepherd will provide for him because he loves him and cares for him. And in this reality, David has peace and contentment. Do you have peace and contentment in the Lord? Do you trust him in this way? Do you trust that he loves and cares for you as his sheep? I urge you to trust in your shepherd, O sheep of the Lord. I urge you to stop wandering and straying from him, to stop trying to blaze your own trails. Stop thinking that you know what you need better than he does. Recognize your need for your shepherd. Recognize your need to depend upon him and trust that whatever he provides for you is what you need, and whatever he withholds from you isn't good for you right now. Trust in your shepherd, O sheep of the Lord. Many of us think we want peace and contentment in the Lord, but really we just want what we want. Do you know that your Lord is the good shepherd who withholds no good thing from you? The more intimately that you know him, the more wholeheartedly you will trust him. The more intimately you know him, the more wholeheartedly you will trust him. And after this powerful opening, David then begins to describe what his life is like following the Lord as one of his sheep in verses 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David's description of his walk with the Lord is one of trust and dependence upon his shepherd. And the fruit that's born out of this walk is rest, peace, restoration, and righteousness. In every phrase within these two verses, David describes the work of his shepherd. He makes me. He leads me. He restores my. He leads me. His shepherd is the one who's at work. David simply receives the blessing of the fruit that comes from walking in trust and dependence upon his shepherd. He receives the blessing of being made to lie down in green pastures. Here David communicates the reality that as he follows the leading of his shepherd, he enjoys the blessing of rest and abundant provision. Abundant pastures, all of his needs are satisfied and provided for by his shepherd. And so he rests in the midst of the abundance, being fully content and having no sign of want in his life. He receives the blessing of being led beside still waters. Because David follows his shepherd, he doesn't have to fight against violent streams to try and find refreshment, nor does he have to drink from muddied or dirtied waters as he tries to find refreshment for his soul. Rather, his shepherd provides for him not only food and rest, but also refreshment and pleasure. The waters to which his shepherd leads him give him both a pleasant experience and many a cooling drink to satisfy his thirst and refresh his weariness. He receives the blessing of having his weary soul restored. Literally, this communicates the idea that his shepherd causes his life to return. It refers to the spirit when it's exhausted, when it's weary or sad, it's overcome. And the meaning is that God breathes new life into his spirit when he's exhausted. The reference is to the life or spirit as exhausted. It's wearied, troubled, anxious. It's worn down from work and care. And it communicates that his shepherd brings back its vigor. He encourages it. He excites it to new effort. He fills it with new joy. As the Lord's sheep, David enjoys the reinvigoration and renewal of his weary soul and the fullness of joy that's to be found in the Lord's presence. David also receives the blessing of being led in paths of righteousness, in the paths of the Lord. The Lord guides David in paths of righteousness, in paths that keep him from ruin and from danger. This is what he does for his sheep. We see this in our own lives in terms of the Lord's work of sanctification in us. He leads us in the paths in which we're continually conformed into his image, so that we would display his character and conduct in our lives. He does this by his word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. His same word, which when stored within our hearts, makes us not want to sin against him, not want to stray from his path. We also see the reason that the Lord leads David in paths of righteousness. The reason is for his own name's sake. He leads David in paths of righteousness for his own glory. As the Lord's sheep, we're to make known his character and perfections. Therefore, he leads us in paths of righteousness by his word and in the power of his Holy Spirit, so that our lives glorify his name by reflecting what he is truly like. These are the blessings that David receives and enjoys as he follows the Lord in trust and dependence upon him, as he follows the Lord as his sheep. They are the same blessings that we receive and get to enjoy as the Lord's sheep as well, as we depend upon him. We too can know the rest that flows from dependence upon our shepherd. We too can know the contentment that comes through the Lord's abundant provision for our needs. We too can enjoy the refreshment and peace that comes from being led by him beside still waters. We too can know the restoration of our weary souls in his presence. And we too can know the blessing of following the Lord in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The question is, do we? do we know these blessings of being the Lord's sheep? Do we follow our shepherd day by day? If we're not enjoying these blessings that come from being near to our shepherd and following him, then perhaps this is a warning sign to us that we've wandered or strayed from him at some point and we need to return. Don't delay if you know that you're not enjoying the blessings that flow from being near to the Lord and following him. Return to your shepherd. David's language then shifts in the next portion of the psalm. He switches from referring to the Lord as he and instead begins referring to him as you. David transitions from speaking truths about his shepherd and about his walk with him to speaking directly to the Lord himself. Let's look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You are with me. It's interesting to observe here that as David turns to speak about the valley that he's led through as a sheep of the Lord, he speaks directly to the Lord himself. This seems to highlight both the reality and intimacy of his relationship with his shepherd. It suggests that David isn't just speaking hypothetically here. He's speaking from experience. This isn't just a hypothetical statement or an afterthought towards some potential future valley that David may have to go through. It undoubtedly contains reflections upon past valleys. It may contain resolution concerning any present valley, and it shouts resolve into the face of the valleys to come. And so David describes walking through this dark and dismal valley, full of terrors and dangers. As we know, the Lord's paths of righteousness do indeed go through valleys. And David says that though he's led through the midst of these terrors and dangers, as in a deep valley, dark as a shadow and as dreadful as death itself, though he may have every reason to consider himself as a dying man, yet he resolves, I will fear no evil. David says, even though I walk through the midst of the darkest valley of my life, with terror and danger all around me, and death encompassing me, I will fear no evil. I won't give way to my fears even as I walk through this valley. Rather, I'll continue to confidently trust in my shepherd, that he will make even death itself work out for my good. This is David's resolution. David centers his thinking upon the reality that even in the midst of the darkest valley, the Lord is with him. In fact, it's at this time that he speaks most intimately to his shepherd. You are with me, David says. You are with me. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He's confident in his shepherd's presence with him, leading and guiding him as he walks. And I suggest that the darkness is so great in this valley that he cannot see. He can't see his shepherd, but he's comforted by his rod and his staff. He still knows intuitively the pull of his shepherd's staff leading and guiding him. And he still knows the protection of his shepherd's rod defending him, directing him, and urging him onwards. And I'm sure that we too are able to testify to walking through deep and dark valleys as we've followed the Lord in the paths of righteousness. We're undoubtedly led through challenging and trying times as the Lord's sheep. Some may indeed have made us well aware that we were encompassed by the overwhelming shadow of death. Yet even as we follow our shepherd's lead through the midst of these deepest and darkest valleys of life, we too can resolve with David, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." To have this resolve as David did, we need to be confident that the Lord Himself led us there. We need to be confident that the Lord Himself led us there. And if He led us there, then the path must be right, because the shepherd doesn't mislead his sheep. And if we know that He led us on this path, then we can take heart that He's present with us in it, that He's leading us whether we can see Him or not. And we can take comfort in His rod and staff, which guide us and correct us, which protect us and urge us onwards. Following this, David then moves to provide evidence of the Lord's provision in his life through a slightly different image in verse 5. He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." David now refers specifically to the Lord providing a table for him in the very presence of his enemies. The word table here is synonymous with feast. There could be an allusion here to some particular period in David's life, but it's quite difficult to tell or suggest what this might have been now. But nevertheless, David says that the Lord has prepared a table or a feast before him in the presence of his enemies. That is, in spite of them, or so that they couldn't prevent it. David's enemies were compelled to look on and see how his Lord provided for him, and there was nothing that they could do about it. It was clear evidence of the Lord's favor and blessing upon David. Here David communicates the victory that the Lord's sheep have even in the very presence of their enemies. The enemies of the Lord's sheep are compelled to see how their shepherd acts on their behalf, how he provides for his sheep, how he defends them. Obviously, this final victory will be on the day of judgment when all will see that the Lord's sheep belong to him. And all will see that only the Lord's sheep get to enjoy and share in his presence for all of eternity. The final two phrases of this verse serve to further express the abundance of the Lord's favor upon his sheep. "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." David is showing this grand vision of provision, blessing, prosperity, and joy. This vision of what it is for the sheep of the Lord to walk with Him, to know Him, to be shepherded by Him, even in the very midst of the presence of the enemies. And lastly, David pours forth a worshipful proclamation of his unending hope in the Lord. Look with me at verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is simultaneously a conclusion drawn from his walk with the Lord and a proclamation of the hope that he has as the Lord's sheep. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This is a wholehearted proclamation. Surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Not just in his good days, but in his trying days. In the green pastures and through the valleys. Goodness and mercy shall follow him. And finally, he gives this wholehearted proclamation of his sure hope in the Lord. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is David's hope. In life, through death, and for all of eternity, he shall be in the presence of his shepherd. David expresses his hope that just as he walks with his shepherd, enjoying his presence in each of the days of his life, and even as he walks with him, knowing his presence through the valley of the shadow of death, he foresees without any question that he will indeed dwell in the house of the Lord, enjoying his presence and nearness forever. This is David's hope. Do you know your shepherd? Do you know that you are his sheep? If you don't, then you need to. These two components are the foundation for living out your relationship with the Lord. These are questions of identity, who your God is, and who you are in relation to him. If you know that these truths aren't ingrained in you, then I encourage you to continue to think upon this psalm in the days ahead. Pray through it. Reflect upon it so that you can draw forth the appropriate truths and foundation for your life, the proper understanding of who your God is and who you are in relation to him. If you do know your shepherd, and you know that you are his sheep, but you're not enjoying the blessings of following him and being near to him because you've wandered or strayed away from him, then I call you tonight. Pay attention to your shepherd's rod and staff. Heed his voice to you this evening and return to follow him. Draw near to him afresh tonight. If you're here tonight and you know that you've forsaken your dependence upon your shepherd to instead go your own way just for a little while, I urge you, return to your shepherd. You're in grave danger when you stray away from him. If you know that you're not experiencing the enjoyment of the blessings of following the Lord and of being near to him for one reason or another tonight, and you don't have his rest, you don't have his peace, you don't have his restoration of soul or his righteousness in your life, and these are warning signs to you that you've strayed. Turn back. Trust in your Lord. Depend upon him again tonight. Or if you're here tonight and you've heard this message and you know without any doubt that the Lord is not your shepherd, then I urge you tonight, acknowledge your desperate need of him. Turn away from your strayings and wanderings and come follow him. Yes, there will be difficult valleys that your shepherd leads you through in the paths of righteousness. But he's always with you, leading you and guiding you for his own good purposes. Don't continue to wander aimlessly in your life, trying to figure things out on your own or follow some other leader who cares nothing for your soul and eternity. Come humbly before the Lord this evening, acknowledging that he's the shepherd that you need. He's the shepherd that you need for your life, and that you are wayward without him. Come humbly in your heart and submit to him and his leading and guidance in your life. I do urge each of you here tonight not to leave here without knowing that you are near to your shepherd. Because it's only by being near to him, and it's only in following him, that we have a sure and sturdy foundation for our lives. Hear the Lord's voice to you this evening. Let's pray. Thank you that I am your sheep, that you are my shepherd. I thank you that you have paid it all. You've done everything that is required for me to be able to know you and to follow you, and for us to be able to know you and to follow you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the good shepherd. You're the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And I thank you that you have indeed laid down your life for your sheep. And I thank you that death could not contain you. That though you laid down your life, you had authority to take it up again. Thank you that you are risen indeed, and that you're alive, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. I ask tonight, Lord, that you would speak to each one of us, that by your Holy Spirit you would convict us where we need convicting, you would encourage us where we need encouragement, you would strengthen us where we are weak. Oh Lord, that we would know you afresh tonight as our shepherd. That we would know your restoration of our souls tonight. Oh Lord, as we hear your voice tonight, Lord, may we not harden our hearts. May you grant us oftentimes by your Spirit to hear what you say to us. And Lord, I pray that it would take root in our lives, take root in our hearts, and bear fruit for your kingdom, we pray. I ask these things in Jesus' name.